So I'm going to talk about proximal third tibial shaft fractures. And, you know, these are injuries that typically are treated with intramedullary nails. Although if you have these really proximal extra-articular fractures, you can also consider periarticular locked plating for them. You know, when you choose one over the other is certainly a little bit of a debate, and certainly there's some comparative studies looking at this. For the most part, I think if you have something that's truly diaphyseal, typically nails work best. If you have something that's really metadiaphyseal and you know, you feel that the plates work better in your hands, then that is certainly an option. I mean, I think actually that plating in these proximal fourth, I should say, really proximal tibial fractures is technically easier than doing nailing. Nailing, as you know, there are a lot of pitfalls. So let's talk about that. So when nailing in the proximal third of the tibia, clearly there's a lot of deforming forces. Hopefully you've are aware of or have seen this in the operating room, but we're going to review them here. So when you flex the knee, so when you're using the triangle or you're using some type of positioner to flex the knee up, the proximal fragment is going to want to extend, or the fracture will go into an apex anterior. Or if anything, the proximal fragment will translate anterior compared to the distal fragment. And all this is a little bit easier to see if you are using, you know, if we had a PowerPoint or show or showed you this on a whiteboard. But we'll try to go through the concepts verbally here at least. You know, the other deforming forces, these can go into valgus or varus. So when you're doing a nail, it's important to essentially make sure you're as central in the proximal fragment as possible. So what do I mean by that? Well, it means that on both the AP and the lateral X-ray, you are centrally, or at least you are entering the fracture site centrally. So if you start too medially and head too laterally, you will get a deformity. If you start too anteriorly and aim too posteriorly, you will get a deformity. If you enter the fracture site pretty much centrally, you are much more likely to maintain good alignment on both views. Now, sometimes just your portal placement and trajectory isn't enough. This is where you have to use blocking screws medially, laterally, posteriorly. I mean, you almost never have to do it anteriorly because the nail goes in anteriorly. Blocking screws are ways to redirect your reamers and your implant to enter the fracture site centrally so that it enters the distal segment centrally as well, and your fracture hopefully is, you know, lined up. Other techniques, a unicortical plate, for instance, taking a 3-5, maybe a 5-hole plate, or something like that, and using unicortical locking screws to sort of hold your reduction while you do your nailing. That's one way. This is something I'll do sometimes in open fractures. Another way would be to use a distractor or a fixator. Then there's other ways which don't involve using any implants, and that's using semi-extended positioning, right? So I started off by saying when the knee is flexed, this is where you get into trouble trying to control the proximal fragment. Well, just don't flex the knee, right? So you use that bone foam ramp or some type of blankets or something to keep the knee so-called semi-extended. And in the old days, the semi-extended approach of Tornetta was to put the knee in that position and then do a full-on total knee arthrotomy, move the patella out of the way, and you sort of, you know, you start with a portal that can be very high on the tibia, aimed more distally than posteriorly, and you don't get into those troubles with that apex anterior angulation or translation of the proximal fragment relative to the distal fragment. So these are now done, as you know, using specialized instrumentation in which we don't do that big total knee incision. We can make a smaller incision, and we can go ahead and place the instrumentation percutaneously, essentially small incision in the quad tendon. But the principles are the same. You're keeping the knee semi-extended, and you are avoiding that apex anterior deformity. So those are all the things you can do: unicortical plate, distractor or X-fix, semi-extended positioning, blocking screws. People sometimes ask me, you know, do you leave the blocking screws in? Do you take them out? Do you leave that unicortical plate? Do you take them out? I generally leave blocking screws in. The plate I usually take out, especially, I said, sometimes I'll use it if there's an open fracture. I'm right there. I don't have to dissect down to get this little plate in there. So sometimes in those situations, I feel fine. I'll just put a plate. I'm right there. I can hold the reduction. But then I take it out. That's an open fracture. I'll have a nail in there. If I feel that's stable enough fixation, I'll take that plate out for fear of, you know, infection. So these are the things you got to think about, you know, if plating is an option, but, you know, obviously make sure preoperatively you're aware of potential need for that. It's obviously a completely different set of instrumentation. So I think those are the main points you need to know about. Thanks.